Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with President Obama on the defensive about minor officials in the IRS targeting Tea Party and other patriot groups. Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist with the Los Angeles Times, Michael Hiltzik, joins us to discuss his article in the LA Times, The Real IRS Scandal, and whether it is more of a case of the IRS doing too little as opposed to too much in going after flagrantly political groups applying for tax exemption in the name of social welfare. Then, with the Tea Party claiming political victimhood, we will analyze the real nature of the Tea Party movement with Chris Parker, the author of a new book, Change They Can't Believe In, The Tea Party and Reactionary Politics in America. We will discuss his thoroughly researched study of the Tea Party that presents itself as a new revolutionary phenomenon when in fact it is the old reactionary right repackaged as a grassroots movement. With its funding from billionaires, it is much more the heir of the Know-Nothing Party, the Ku Klux Klan, and the John Birch Society than those who inspired the American Revolution. Then finally, with the phony scandal overwhelming important substance, we will look further into the recent breaching of the threshold of 400 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere and speak with Michael Mann, the co-founder and award-winning science, the co-founder of the award-winning science website realclimate.org, who shared a Nobel Peace Prize in 2007. We will discuss the need for aggressive leadership to slap down the deniers and take urgent action to save the planet before we pass the point of no return. I'm now joined by Michael Hiltzik, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist with the Los Angeles Times, who received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing the corruption in the entertainment industry. Currently, he writes the twice-weekly column Golden State, covering business and economic issues relevant to life in California. His books include The Plot Against Social Security, Dealers of Lightning, Xerox PARC, and The Dawn of the Computer Age, A Death in Kenya, and his most recent Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century. His latest article at the Los Angeles Times is The Real IRS Scandal. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Hiltzik.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And of course, the president is appearing with the Turkish Prime Minister today at the White House, was barraged by questions about the IRS and the extent to which they targeted the Tea Party. And he's on the defensive, and I wonder why he is being so defensive and why he took a defensive stand immediately when it might well have been a good opportunity for him to talk about the real issue, which is what you've written about in your article, and that is the flood of money that's come into the political process since Citizens United and this rubric under which they get tax exemption as for social welfare, as though they're charitable, when it's clear that they're flagrantly political. So, is the president missing an opportunity here, and in effect, taking too much blame for something that minor officials in the IRS were responsible for?
Right. Well, I think he certainly is missing an opportunity, and in fact, progressives in Congress are missing an opportunity. I think probably the president and the White House are making a calculation that there's no percentage in defending the IRS on anything, because it's such a detested agency for any number of reasons that we don't have to go into. But as I pointed out, the real scandal here is that the IRS, first of all, that the IRS has not done really anything to rein in what essentially is subterfuge by organizations that claim to be social welfare organizations. I mean, classically, typically, these are volunteer fire departments and educational foundations and homeowner groups, literacy organizations. That's what a C4, which is the designation we're talking about, typically was. Since Citizens United, there's been this flood of applications from all sorts of overtly political organizations. And it's not merely that they want the tax exemption. I think that's minor. What they really want is something that C4s get that's more valuable than gold to a political donor, and that is anonymity. C4 organizations don't have to disclose their donors. That's what these organizations are offering to political activists, political owners, political agents on all sides of the aisle. And I think that's really what has to be reined in here.
So as you pointed out in your article, Michael Hiltzig, the real IRS scandal, that in the state of California, there was a mysterious $11 million donation to a campaign for California's anti-union Proposition 32 last November. And if it wasn't for the State Fair Political Practices Commission exposing the anonymous donors of who were hiding behind these 501c4 organizations, we wouldn't have known about who was really behind it. Now, if the state of California can puncture the anonymity, why can't the IRS?
Well, in fact, the state of California hasn't actually gotten to the bottom of who those donors are for this very reason, and that is that the C4 organizations don't have to, can conceal the names of their donors. I think what the Fair Political Practices Commission was able to do was identify that there were these C4s behind the $11 million donation. Other than that, we would have had no idea even what organizations had made the donation. So you can see how bad this problem is. I think California has always been a bellwether of this because so much money comes into the state for initiative campaigns, and it's always been a battle to make sure that the names are disclosed. This was a case where I think they're working toward it. They're still investigating, but we still don't know what individuals put up that money, and that's the flaw in the federal system.
So is there any, at this point, do we really know the extent to which the IRS really, in any great way, in any systemic way, really did anything wrong? Obviously, as you pointed out, they're the least popular agency around, and nobody much wants to defend them. But if you're getting flooded with these applications, most of which are coming from the Republican side or from Republican front groups, and you're trying to do some kind of triage, it sort of makes sense to try and, screen them out. And it seems to me that the problem here is not that the IRS did something illegal. The problem is that what is legal is wrong.
That's right. I think if you look at the Inspector General's report, which was just released yesterday, and this is the investigation of what went on at this unit that was supposed to be examining these applications, I think it says very specifically that these groups were not selected because of their political coloration. This unit of overworked rank-and-file workers in the Cincinnati office of the IRS that was tasked with the responsibility of examining this flood of C4 applications, and the number of applications had doubled in the 2 or 3 years since Citizens United, and clearly the workers said, how can we get our arms around this so that we don't have to look at every one? And they put out a screen. They said, well, we know that the Tea Party is filing a lot of these. We know that a lot of them have names like Patriot. So why don't we use that as a screen, and we'll see what comes up. What the Inspector General report found is that they ended up with 300 organizations to give closer scrutiny to, but only a third of those fell into this category of Tea Party or Patriot or 912. We don't know what the other two-thirds were, but there's every possibility that they were liberal groups or Democratic groups or progressive groups because they were also trying to exploit this C4 loophole. And the fact of the matter is that none of these organizations actually was denied a C4 designation. The only group we know of that didn't get that got revoked, the C4 organization, was a group that was registering Democratic voters in Maine. Clearly, not the right wing victims that the right wing likes to claim. So I think what the IG clearly concluded is that this was an unwise and sure inappropriate, but not overtly political attempt, simply to find a way to get at the problem as fast as possible. And it also points out that the moment managers at the IRS discovered that they were using the screen, they were told, stop it, find something broader, more neutral, and do it that way. And eventually they did. By the beginning of 2012, they were using what I thought to be a fairly neutral screen.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Hilzik, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist with the Los Angeles Times. He won the Pulitzer Prize in 1999 for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry, and he currently writes the twice-weekly column Golden State. He is the author of Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century, and his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is The Real IRS Scandal. So could they have come up with a regime, Michael Hilzik, that would have, for example, gone after Karl Rove? It seems like he was the first to use the 501c4 in a big way. He started Crossroads and then found Crossroads GPS, which was the offered anonymity because it was a C4. And I believe most of the money that he raised went through that C4 because that is the preferred vehicle of people. You know, if you're a corporate CEO, you don't want to put your corporation in jeopardy because maybe half your customers are Democrats and half are Republicans. But this gives you the shield behind which you can you know, practice your politics as opposed to your shareholders' politics.
Right. Well, I'm not sure they needed a screen to go after Crossroads GPS because everybody knew that Crossroads had set up this C4. I think one of the ironies of this whole affair is that it's these big C4s that didn't get examined very closely by the IRS. This group in Cincinnati was essentially looking at sort of small-time grifters, these small-time tea parties who had, no qualifications to be designated C4, but were taking advantage of this loophole. The big guys were skating through, and that's still the condition we're at. And one of the dangers in this whole incident is that the IRS is going to be scared away from taking a close look at any C4s because it now looks so politically explosive, and clearly that's the point we have to be at. I mean, the rules should be, and in fact, in the Citizens United decision, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote that decision, said we need to have disclosure of all of this corporate money that we are, through this decision, going to let into the political process. Well, we have less disclosure today than we did in the 1990s. We're down to 40% of donations are disclosed. That's what Congress really has to do, is enact a law that says if you are contributing to elections, if you are intervening in campaigns, all of your donations, no matter what your designation is, have to be disclosed publicly.
Well, I think, Michael Hilzik, there's a broader problem here that this does identify, and that is that not only has our political system been dominated by money, a lot of which is anonymous, the regulatory system is being captured, and all of these regulatory agencies are compromised by political leverage from the very same people who make these donations. Somehow they're able to get to intimidate these agencies into not doing their job. You just brought up the idea that a shareholder doesn't, a CEO can give money anonymously through a C4 and not offend half of his customers who may belong to the opposite party to the one that he's supporting. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is now looking at a way that they have the ability, the oversight ability, to force CEOs to report to their shareholders where they give their political donations to. The FCC has the ability to force media, and particularly television, to reveal who the money is behind the ads that are really the main vehicle by which people get elected. So there's an awful lot of stuff out there that can be done by these regulatory agencies, but they simply aren't doing it.
Well, that's true. And I think there's an argument to be made that the Internal Revenue Service is probably the wrong agency to be tasked with this particular issue, which is determining whether an organization is a political organization or not. It doesn't have guidelines. It's simply not equipped to do that sort of oversight. But we do have a Federal Election Commission. That's an agency that really should be encouraged to be aggressive about all these things. And we need laws mandating disclosure under all circumstances. And we need to have a regulatory agency that's relatively immune from the sort of pressure that they're inevitably going to get from Congress. Because, look, members of Congress are politicians. They enjoy the money that comes in anonymously. They want it to continue to flow. they should be shamed into changing the law so that it's not secret anymore. And then it should be a legitimate regulatory agency, not a collection agency like the IRS, that's given the responsibility to make sure that that happens.
Well, Michael Hiltzik, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Hiltzik, who's a professor, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist with the Los Angeles Times, who received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry. Currently, he writes the twice-weekly column Golden State, covering business and economic issues in California, and his books include The Plot Against Social Security, A Death in Kenya, and Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century. His latest article at the LA Times is The Real IRS Scandal. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about the Tea Party now claiming political victimhood. Yeah!